So welcome to another episode of Mike M's Collector's Corner. This time I have one of my best friends, and I kind of know a lot about him and his collection because I've been to his house. But I have Chris Campbell.
These are some of my favorite episodes. You need to do more of them.
And you're like, you have a collection that my wife wants me to have. But she won't ever have, which is it. When I think of your collection, I think of it like really deep and detailed and concise and focused, whereas mine is all over the map because I change how I feel a lot. And I think it keeps my stuff fresh. Like the one thing we have in common is Batman, and I also love the Fantastic Four, which I don't think I'll ever get close to what you have with the FF. At least
I'm gonna get there.
with the early issues, you got there, and we'll talk about it. But what I want to start with is kind of like, how did you gravitate towards the medium?
Well, it's funny. I was talking to my dad earlier this week. We have a we had we had a small cabin up in Port Townsend, which is in Washington State. It's out like on the very tip of the peninsula, of the state. And in the 80s, for a long time we would go up there for the weekend and just enjoy a weekend. But I, when we first started going up there, like I was a little boy and my sister wasn't born yet, so I was like 4 or 5 years old. And it's great to be kind of out in the wilderness, and I mean it was really out in the sticks, And so I think very quickly they realized that, some toys are great, but there weren't like other kids around. And so I think they realized very quickly that they needed to get me a lot of reading material. So we would go into town at the Safeway or wherever, the drugstore, and my dad said that he remembered buying me like Whitman sampler packs of Batman, and he would buy me Looney Tunes comics. I remember the first one I distinctively remember was, I think it was a Looney Tunes, or it was a Donald Duck issue with like Huey, Dewey, and Louie on the cover, and it said like the Legend of the Loup Garou. It was like some sort of like werewolf type story. And it was, I think he bought it for me when I was like 4 or 3. And
When you say
I
it's
can't.
the Whitman, was it like the three pack in the plastic or?
You got it. And so I remember the first Batman issue I remember my father buying for me was Batman 363, which when I was about, what, maybe 5 or so. And then he bought me other ones, but the majority of the early ones were that. And then that was just kind of random. I remember those, but what really got me into it was, I loved to read, and my dad would buy me. My mom always said, like, they were very stingy with spending on anything. But my mom always said, "I will never say no to you, son, if you want to buy a book." And so I was.
That's the exact terms my grandparents would tell me.
If you want to buy a book to read, I will never say. So I bought read very early age. I started reading fairly early, like tons of like the Hardy Boys, the Investigators, Dragonlance. People love that. But what I also started doing is at the library in first grade, I would check out the Tintin and Asterix books. The big, like Belgian, like graphic novels, like big, oversized ones, and those combined with Archie and combined with those first couple of comics issues, those were my first introduction to the medium. And probably Tintin, Archie, Batman, and Looney Tunes. Those are like that's the only stuff I remember. I mean, you know how it is when you're a little kid; you don't remember shit. Like there might have been other
The
things, but that's
Tintin
what I
surprises
remember.
me because I had been in, had comics in all my life, and I really didn't know Tintin other than looking through Overstreet and seeing the movie.
Oh, geez. Well, when I went to buy, first time I went to buy comics, I was a little bit older, but I just remember that I wanted to. I knew what comics were from the Sunday strips and from those early couple of issues up at the summer house, but I my mom and dad wouldn't buy them for me randomly at the grocery store. They might buy me a double digest because it was so good value, but I wouldn't. They wouldn't buy it for me, and so I looked at the school library and I just happened upon them, just kind of laying in a particular section, and I was like, oh, I gotta read these. I think I love art too. From a very early age, I love to draw, and so the medium just, I think it chose me. All you need is that first little experience, right? And if you're pre and if there's something about you and you love comics, they'll get you. They'll find a way to get you, and
Well,
they
they
got
hook
me.
you, and
They hook you.
you'll always remember them, that's
If
for sure.
it takes effort, then you're just not a comic guy, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like if you're a comic guy at heart, they'll find you early.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, one of the stories that I really want you to cover on this, and I don't know if we'll get there or if,
I can
but
tell fast. What story?
the story that I really like is how you came across the FF stuff early on. Because I remember this because we both worked at McDonald's.
Yeah, I found Kirby and FF when maybe back in ooh, I'm dang, I'm saying maybe Englehart run. Remember that one cover where it shows Johnny Storm like kind of burning up and like losing his flame in the middle of the in space. It was an Englehart run. I first bought that off a spinner racket, 7-Eleven in Seattle. And I was buying a Punisher and other stuff. I bought it and I read it and it spoke to me. I loved it, and I can't tell you how, but I think what happened was I went to a precursor to Emerald City Con. This was back in like God 19 1988 89. I went to the precursor to the Emerald City Comic Con at the Mercer Arena, and I decided that I was going to go around instead of buying the new the $40 Todd McFarlane Spider-Man issues that were hot at the moment. I was going to go and look for old comics. This is back when old comics weren't that expensive, you remember. And so what I did is I went around and I looked for like just anything old in FF because I could tell that it was old because the number was so high. I thought, you know what, I'm just gonna, I can't tell you why, but I just started looking for old issues. I found like a FF number 6 for I think $5. That like someone had obviously like dropped in the water and let dry on the dock or something, but I could still read it and I read it. This is before reprints, you know. I found an FF12 that was just ratty condition. I found like a whole bunch of really old Kirby issues for a couple of bucks a piece, but they were all messed up, you know. I found FF25 and 26, that cool crossover, but like the last page was missing in both. That's why it was like a dollar or two. But I read them all, and then fast forward a couple of years, I got some more. It's the
So
Fantastic Four, isn't
you actually came into. Do you remember what Englehart issue that was? What number?
Damn, 319, 3.
Okay,
Nice,
so you,
nice calling me
because
out.
Englehart kind of followed the burn.
It was not during Burn. It was
Yeah, I
after
know.
Burn.
He was after Burn. That's what I'm saying. He followed him.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
Burn.
so.
I mean, because I'm not, where Burn was too early.
Well,
I went high.
it's interesting because that's when I started buying FF off the rack. Was with
Interesting.
the burn because
Give me more.
I wasn't a Marvel guy, but when
I was.
it seems like when Burn came on the scene and I saw that FF cover with all the FF and Galactus in the middle. Do you remember that cover where he's like
Do, of
giant?
course.
It's iconic, and that was the one the first FF one I bought. I mean, I had a couple of them that I got from the dump with no covers, but yeah, but this one was the first one I bought with my own money, and so
Nice.
you weren't that far off from me as far as FF, like, 'cause you
Yeah.
started right after Burn was done.
Yeah, I still have my issues, but I wrote my name on the front. So it's Chris C in front of them, and I'm not going to upgrade because it's perfectly fine, thank you. Yeah, that's I loved it. I mean, obviously, it's it's so, I mean, it's awesome, you know. So what happened then was, well, the day I turned 16, fast forward maybe 4 years, whatever, still collecting, still going, you know, I was reading, you know, because I mean, when I turned 16, I got a job, but you know, the years before that, I was reading comics, but I wasn't reading them super consistently because I don't know about you, but I think I don't remember that comics came out on a particular day, and I think the people that say they remember when they came out on a particular day are either, you know, thinking like not really remembering that, but just they know it now. Like, oh, Wednesday's new comic day. Back then it was Tuesday or Thursday or some shit. I'm amazed at those people because I don't remember any of that stuff. All I remember is that I was lucky enough to have my mom or dad take me to one of the few comic shops in South Seattle, either Wonder World or Platinum, and just I would just walk in and be, that's what's there. And like I would buy what little I could afford, and that's that. But I wouldn't think like, oh, these are the new comics this week. These are the new comics last week. Here's what's coming up next week. I mean, I didn't remember any of that crap. All I knew is that they had issues of Fantastic Four, and then behind it, they had a few of the older ones. But like,
Yeah,
I didn't even.
and that's what amazed me. Like when I first found a comic shop because I got them off the drugstore, so there weren't back issues. I mean,
Right.
you'd maybe have 2 months worth if you're lucky, and then they would discard the old periodical, replace it with the new one.
Right.
So it was like I had no concept that stores collected back issues. So when I finally found that, I was like blown away. I was
Oh
like,
yeah.
holy moly, there's back issues.
I think it was between when I first got my first comics when I was, you know, like 6, 7, and when I was maybe 11, 12, I only bought at Bartell Drug, 7-Eleven, and Tom's Grocery up the street, which I could ride to on my bicycle. And I would just get what I could get, and I didn't care if there were creases, I didn't give a crap. And you know, you got what you could get, and that's it kind of forced me to try out different things. Like that's how I was forced to try out X-Men because there was no Batman, there was no Spider-Man. I thought I'll just buy
It's
this,
whatever's there,
you
right?
know? And it was, I remember it
But
was a part.
did covers drive you though? Like they drove me back then.
A little bit. I still remember having a vague sense of like what I think would interest me. But like, I remember I bought a lot of Power Pack, bought Cloak and Dagger, bought Punisher, Spider-Man, and it wasn't necessarily just the cover. I did gravitate towards younger people's stories, and I think I didn't gravitate as much towards like Doctor Strange or the Hulk. Like, I didn't have a connection with that stuff. Like, but Fantastic Four with Johnny Storm, like, I truly believe that having like young people in the comic made a big difference. Like, I didn't get the Avengers. I didn't buy the Avengers. I'm like, okay, there's a bunch of old people. Like, yeah, they're cool, but like, it just wasn't. It didn't connect. So, for years, I would do that, and then at some point, my mom, because you remember, you got subscriptions, right?
No, I never got subscriptions. I got them
So
off the rack.
I got subscriptions to two comics, and I think it was late 80s. My mom, for my birthday 1 year, I convinced my mom to get me a subscription to The Punisher, and the next year was Ghost Rider, Danny Ketch Ghost Rider,
Oh,
from issue
wow.
3 on. But yeah, Punisher, it was from issue, I want to say 14, 15, the Will Sportacio stuff, you know,
Yeah.
on. And you know, it always came with a little cover. They always folded the comic in half to put in your mailbox, which I didn't care about, you know.
Right.
But then I found out, you know, older people will remember. Like you had to break open the yellow pages, look under comic books, and find comic book ads that made it look like it was an actual comic store rather than just a bookstore, and then convince your mom to drive you over there. And that was fun. I remember every time the new
Phone book.
new phone book would come out, I would look. And there was a couple of stores that were downtown Seattle that were listed. And I always kind of thought of that as like the, you know, Emerald City. Like, oh my God, one day I might be able to actually go downtown to
Yeah.
this place, which is like all 15 miles away. Like that's just insurmountable. But
I
well,
actually think I wouldn't have known about him unless my friend told me about him. because
Well, that's interesting, huh?
it like I don't even know to look in the phone book because I didn't think it was possible like that they could exist.
So I have a funny way of finding out my first ever comic shop. This is a funny story that would never happen this year, now. Is my father loves antiques, and there was a little antique mart where it's like a bunch of like little dealers of antiques would all have like rent out like a little 12 by 12 space in like a strip mall, and you could go down and it'd be this antiques of all different types. And my dad would take me down there because it was only like a mile or so away because he wanted to look at the old World War II memorabilia that this one dealer had. And he would always take me with him.
Well,
And I
that's
would just.
awesome because I'm really into World War II. What was he looking for?
He bought all sorts of stuff. He would buy just like World War II, like ceremony, like officer swords.
Oh,
He
wow.
would buy both sides. He would buy American and Nazi stuff, just like he would buy
Does he
both. And now
still have
he
it?
still has it all.
Wow.
And he would buy tons of stuff, and like just anything that like struck his fancy, and I remember at one point he was buying stuff, and then he realized, like I'm buying these things because they're like part of history, but you know what? Like some of these things are from the bad guys. I probably shouldn't tell people that I'm buying these things.
Yeah, the
Like he wasn't,
paraphernalia.
and I remember when American Beauty came out, I was like, oh my God, I hope people don't think that I'm, because like he had, well, because he like it was like kind of like he was creating the whole picture. It's like here's like the good guys, and here's their. A sergeant sword, blah blah blah, or whatever, and he would have like a couple of like Nazi officer swords, and then at one point
Did
I
he ever get
remember,
into the weapons, like a Luger or any of
no
that?
God, no,
No.
swords and daggers only. He thought they were neat looking.
Swords.
No, he would not.
Actually,
He would have.
that stuff right now, like in terms of history, that stuff like in pawn shops and stuff is
Oh,
worth a
I'm
lot
sure.
of money, and like antiques, right?
Oh,
Like
and my dad bought
World
this stuff a
War
long
II
time
stuff
ago.
is hot. I mean.
My dad has a lot of it, and I mean, he would never buy bad guy stuff that actually like killed our people. Like he just kind of was like buying. I remember one time,
But how does he know?
well, no, because it was like sword, it was like ceremonial swords, not swords
Okay,
used to actually kill.
gotcha.
He would never buy like a like. But I remember one day, I remember the day that he kind of realized, oh man, people might get the wrong impression that like I'm a weirdo Nazi liker. He goes, I didn't, because I mean it's only a small part of his collection, but
Yeah, it's not like the Rocketeer movie when
no.
she rushes beyond the secret door and there's all the Nazi paraphernalia.
But yeah, there was I remember to this day. I mean, most of the stuff he had was American, and the stuff was awesome. He had it in this locked cabinet, but he had like there were like. Two or three like Nazi like daggers, and there was this one helmet that he had. He had lots of like cool Allied force like tank helmets. My dad drove a tank in the army, and so he had a lot of that. But he had this one Nazi helmet that had like a skull and cross, not a helmet, but like a officer's cap that had a skull and crossbones like emblem on the front, and it was fucking crazy looking. It had like this guy's name in it, like.
Oh,
And
wow.
I remember when my buddy and I were drawing comics when we were like 13, 14, I remember like we would put it on to like use as reference,
Right.
and I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't turn this in for an assignment. Like
Oh,
it's got like this.
yeah, we actually drew a lot of that, like when we were into like Sergeant Rock back in the day, 'cause you drew the bad guys and you drew the good
Of
guys.
course. Of course. No, of
So the
course.
one thing that was distinctive, was the swastika and that you would always draw, and then you'd draw the helmet because the helmet would al it would always drop down a little lower than the regular like American
Right. Well,
helmets,
you would be it'd be interesting if you were in my dad's collection. It's interesting. There's only one thing in his whole collection that actually has the swastika on it, and I don't think he really likes the piece that much. Like, if you really a lot of the pieces didn't have them on it. Like, especially they just didn't. They would have like lots of eagles and stuff. But anyway, so he would go there, and apparently the guy's name was Fred, and apparently he was. I found out later when I was like a teenager that he actually f was a member of the German Air Force during World War II.
Oh,
And
wow.
as a young boy, like as an 18, 19-year-old boy, at the end of the war,
That's young.
And survive and survive and didn't die. And you know, he like when the bad guys gave in, he was like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But he survived, and he wasn't tried as a war criminal because he was like a kid. He wasn't like killing people or anything. But
Right.
like he lived, and he moved to America, and he had all of this stuff. And you know,
Right.
as a young boy, I'm thinking, oh, that's interesting. But now, as an older man, I'm thinking, how the fuck did you get all that stuff? Like that's kind of creepy.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
the only we had a couple pieces of my dad's collection because all of my great uncles, my grandpa couldn't fight in the war because he had tuberculosis, but all of his brothers did. And we have quite a few sidearms that were used to kill Nazis and shit. Because like they all ended up with my father because like when they would pass away, like my great uncles, they wouldn't have children or whatever. And so he has quite a few family pieces that were used in the war that they kept. And I remember he has this one piece that my great uncle Ernie, who fought in Normandy, he has this piece that he brought home. I don't think he was supposed to. It was a Luger that a Nazi soldier had that he got after like killing some bad guys, but it was so cold that my great uncle Ernie filed the trigger guard away because he couldn't fire it with his glove on. So it was very dangerous though without a trigger guard on a gun, right? And apparently he like always kept it like in his boot. So like and I don't know how he didn't shoot his foot off, but like apparently that was like his weapon of last resort and he like kept it in his boot and it's in my dad's house right now. But
Well, that's crazy.
anyway, it's so he passed I mean he passed away, but like that's why let's get back to comics. He
Yeah.
And I love Sergeant Rock. I need Sergeant Rock Archive Volume 3, by the way. That's my last archive I needed him. But so we
Are
would
these
go
are
here.
these archives that are on your shelf? Yeah.
So we would go there, and my father would take me. This is back when kids would just sit, be quietly, and let their dad shop or whatever. And not like my kids. And he, I, one day there was this young kid named Jeff who opened up a small little 12 by 12 booth in this antique mart. This is like 80, I don't know, 87, I'd say. And he had a bunch of old comics. And he was maybe, I was like, whatever, I don't know, 10 or 11. He was like 20, you know? And
Yeah.
I remember I would walk over there and just look through all this. While my dad was shopping for like the soldier stuff, I would look at his comics. And finally, I convinced my dad to give me $5 every time I went to go and buy as many old comics as I could. So I'd buy like a bunch of old Spider-Man and FF comics. But then eventually, he told me one day, he goes, I'm actually opening a store. And it's called Platinum Comics. And this was like in the late 80s. And he gave me a little flyer. And I remember I convinced my dad to take me there, you know. And this was right around the time I think that Legends of the Dark Knight number one was coming out. And that's my dad took me, and my dad actually got when the movie came out. My dad actually got into collecting comics with me for a while. My dad was really good that way. He,
Did he collect before that point, though?
he read, but he did not co save collect. I
Okay,
mean, I
gotcha.
asked him one day, and he said he wrote ton he read tons of Roy like Champion, you know, like westerns and.
Yeah.
And he said he bought a lot of EC, you know, when he was a little kid, but he never kept any of it, you know, like,
All that EC stuff would have been really
well,
cool to have.
my father is very trash. My father's mom was German, and she was a very strict believer in a very tidy, clean household. And like, as soon as she got the sense that a toy was no longer
Used
needed or used, it would be gone,
is
like
gone.
gone. And to this day, God rest her soul, like he still gets kind of upset and bummed out because he has zero toys. Zero.
Right.
And he's very nostalgic and he has zero toys from his
Well,
childhood. So,
he sounds very nostalgic, like he'd like to have that stuff if he could.
yeah, I mean, the only toy he has from his childhood is a toy that his older sister stole from him. It was a bear and like put lipstick on it. And to this day, he still has it with lipstick remnants on the bear's fucking mouth. But I mean, when I started getting into it for real, like when I was maybe, this sounds weird, when I was like 10, 11,
Yeah.
I started kind of like really actively asking him to take me to these shows downtown and stuff. And after buying comics at 7-Eleven for a few years, he started kind of getting into to it with me just to kind of show interest in what I was showing interest in. But it didn't take him long to kind of realize that there was stuff he loved. Like, he loved The Shadow when he was a kid. So he bought all the old DC Shadow comics.
Right,
you know,
right.
He would rebuy those. And he, you know, he loved that stuff. So, I mean, he showed interest. But my father was amazing in that regard. Like, just taking me to these shows downtown, you know. I mean, you can imagine in the 80s, some dad's like, take me to this comic book show downtown. Like, come on. Like, it wasn't really a thing back then. But when I was 16, my mom said, okay, you're 16 years old. Literally the day after I turned 16, she was, okay, you're 16 now. You have to get a job if you want to buy anything. And I'm like, yes, ma'am, you know. So
that's exactly we kind of grew the same sort of philosophies, you know. Things weren't handed to us.
No.
You had to work. Like, even if it was the, like, $5 you earned to whatever, it was either for mowing the yard or, you know, doing some kind of task.
Right. I did yard work during summers.
Yes, so did I.
From, like, 12 to 16, and I made, like, and you know, it's like kids nowadays whining about it. I remember I would make, like, $5 for doing a whole day's worth of yard work for some lady. I mean, like, Jesus.
My neighbor would pay me good. He had a big yard, but he'd pay me
lucky.
20 bucks. And back then, that was, like, a lot of freaking money for comics.
Man, I remember I worked in people's yards, and then during the non-summer times, I would babysit for some people in the neighborhood when I was like, you know, 9, 10 years old. They let me babysit like a 5-year-old, which is, that's not probably illegal, but
it's not legal now, probably.
It's not legal now, but I mean,
but back then it happened a lot. It happened a lot.
I have distinct memories of the parents getting home, and I watch like their 5-year-old and their 2-year-old, and everything would be fine because I'm not an idiot, you know. I can take care of little kids for 4 hours. I remember they would pay me in quarters. They'd pay me like $4 for 4 hours of babysitting.
Yeah,
and they would pay me in quarters. I'd be like, what? I mean, $1
an
hour.
This change in your pocket, ready to.
You know, and I would go spend it at Game Town, the arcade, you know, that opened up. You know, So my mom said, you got to get a job. I said, okay, if I want to buy anything, I got to get a job. So she was going to make me ride my bike down, but she drove me down to the McDonald's down by South Center Mall. And I walked in, I'm like literally 16. And I remember the guy's name was John, was the manager, not the nice manager that hooked me up later. But, and I walked up and I said, I would like to apply for a job. And I remember I was wearing a tie because my mom said,
you were all decked out.
My mom said, you're not go asking for a job dressed in, you know. So my mom made me put on one of my ties, and I walked down, and I said, I need a job, sir. Are you hiring? And he looked at me, he looked me up and down, and he said, you're hired. Like, all right. So I started working there, and I worked very hard. I liked my job, and didn't make any money. I think my first salary was, $3.85 or something like that. An hour, $4.15 or something. It was definitely like four-ish, maybe.
Yeah.
And so I started working there. I made no money, but I worked hard. And then right before I left that job, because once I turned 18, there was higher paying jobs you could get, slightly higher paying jobs, right? So from 16 to 18, I worked there. And right before I left, I was in high school, and there was this guy named Chris that became the manager. And I had some old comic rolled up in my back of my pocket that I was reading while there were no orders to take in the drive-thru.
Yeah.
And he saw it. And at first I thought, oh shit, he's going to get mad at me, you know, for like reading a comic. He kind of looked at me, you know, kind of noted it. And then, like, I remember some amount of time later, I don't remember, he, like, asked me. He was like, oh, so, you know, what are you reading? Like, what do you like? And I said, oh, you know, it was a FF comic. Mm. It was a Jack Kirby comic rolled up in my back pocket. Don't shoot me. It was, like, 95 or something like that. And
that's did back then. We rolled them in our pocket.
I told him. I showed it to him. I said, oh, yeah, I love Jack Kirby. I love... at the time, I think I was stupid. Like, I said, I love Jack Kirby. I love Jim Lee or something.
Yeah, real age difference.
Well, yeah, but you as a kid, you know. And
but it just showed what you were getting off the shelf versus back issues. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, exactly. And he looked at me and said, well, you know, and he late at night when he told me that, you know, he had he was older. I was, you know, 17. He was probably 40 something. And he was a nice guy, actually. And he told me, he goes, "When I was younger, I actually was really religious in getting all of the Marvel stuff." And he actually told me, you know, when I, about a couple of years ago, he goes, "I sold my Silver Age collection of Marvel to pay for my house or down payment or whatever, you know, I forget." But like, it was a real, and he said that he sold it at, I can't remember if he said he sold it at like an impromptu auction at a Seattle Comic Con, or he just sold it to a dealer at the con. I don't remember quite, but he sold it like as a big lot, with the big Seattle Comic Con immersive arena. And I'm like, "Oh, that's so amazing." He told me all the stuff he had. I'm like, "Oh my God, that's amazing." And it kind of, and I was just very enthusiastic about it. And I think he was impressed with, I think he kind of dug that I liked the old stuff. And so a couple days later, he always carried this briefcase. He said, "Chris, come here." I was working in the grill area, right? I was crew chief in the grill area, you know. And he says, "Come here." I walk over, I clean my hands. He goes, he opens up his little Masonite briefcase, or the hard briefcase, and he goes, "Look at this." And he had two comics in there. He had a Fantastic Four number one, and he had a Star Spangled War Stories from the month of my father's birth, November 1944,
Wow.
but with the Simon Kirby cover and the Fantastic Four cover. When I sold my collection, he said there were a handful of key issues I had multiples of. Some were, you know, not in the greatest shape, but I didn't sell those. And he picked them up, and he said, "I would like you to have these."
God dang.
I looked at him, and my mom didn't raise no rude kid. And I said, no, I cannot accept this." And I pulled out my little Velcro wallet and said, "Let me pay you." And all I had was a $20 bill from my last paycheck. And I said, "Take this for it, please, you know." And he reluctantly took it. And I put them out. I put them on a shelf in the back, and I took them home and I left, you know.
What kind
And
of shape was the FF in? Number
complete,
one,
complete,
complete.
bottom staple is not attached to the cover. Top staple is, no serious, no water damage, no, none of that crazy stuff. The only significant flaw is that there is, maybe a 1-inch triangle on the bottom left, right where the thing is. Someone took a second copy of it. Like, because they're like a damage, and put and glued it over the other issue, so it's like a patch piece, like a small patch piece.
They
But
oh
it,
they patch the cover? Well, that's an interesting defect, because that is a defect I've never seen in the defect guide. That's
it's a,
that's actually fascinating. Like what
yeah.
to do with? I mean, every now and then you run across like I went to the comic store this weekend and the guy says, "I have Amazing Fantasy number 15 and this I want you to help me grade them." And he says, "I want you to first spot grade them based on," and these were copies that were not very good.
Yeah,
They
like
like
two
I was
O
like
something.
I was like at the highest you could get a VG minus, but I think they're, you know, a good, you know,
I mean,
or
yeah, I
maybe
mean.
even lower, because they had some of them look like they were like in fine condition, like, but they had that tape, the restoration tape.
Or the rice paper,
Well, it's
or
actually
tape tape.
like the tape.
Oh yeah, that ruins
All
it.
the
I mean,
way
not ruins
down the side of the cover, like where the staples were,
Yeah.
and I was like, "Wow, I never seen that tape go all the way up and down the entire
Oh, I
book.
have. Oh, I have.
I
Well,
have not seen
you know
that."
what? Most see.
But
This is a, we're safe here. We can
it
talk
turned
nerdy stuff.
yeah, we're safe here, and it turns out that it is a G. You know, it goes to the good grading, because I found an example in the guide that said it if it could have
Fireworks.
that's awesome.
There's
Happy Fourth
fireworks
of
in the back.
July.
Happy 4th of July. You and I both know that grading, the best way to approach grading, and this is how most people think of it, is it's the weakest link approach, right? You have to find the defect that I call the limiting defect. Like, if there is a particular defect, the way that Overstreet works, as you know, it's like, if it has this defect, no matter what, it cannot be greater than this. If it has a detached, If it has a detached centerfold, it cannot be greater than this. If it has a 1/2 inch by 1/2 inch chunk alloy cover, it cannot be greater than this. Like, it has limiting characteristics. So what I always do when I grade something is I look at it very carefully and I find the most significant defect, and that will guide you, even if it looks great otherwise, that will
Yeah.
guide you to what the appropriate grade is.
Well, the one thing the guide teaches you really well is it gives you examples of like exactly the approach that you took. It'll say, "Hey, the thing that I like about that is it says other than this defect, it really is a fine." So they're basically saying this is fine without the tape. Like if this is a 6.5, but because of this tape, you're going down to a 2.
Well, you know what's interesting? So, if I had to grade my comic, the approach I took was, obviously it's restored, but I don't care what they. Well, I took the view, grading wise, that I would grade it as if it were like missing, So like,
Yeah, Chuck
okay.
missing.
So there is a 1-inch triangle missing, and I think I ended up grading it as like a 1-2, maybe, or a 1-5, I think.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know how it is. It doesn't matter what grade it is. It will never. It has been in my. It was in his hands for 35 years, and it has been in my hands for 20 years, I think. So,
Yeah.
it's that copy's never going anywhere until
Well, I
like.
think it means to you, something to you too. Just the nature of how it was done. And that is, I think that's really cool that you said, no, let me pay you for this,
Have
and you
to.
pull out your Velcro wallet and here's $20.
You have to. And
Yeah.
my mama didn't raise no, oh,
Yeah.
thanks. Like, no, I can't. That's too generous. I mean, if to me, I was about ready to start crying. Like,
Yeah.
I and I remember I took home the other comic to my father, and he almost cried when he saw it because it was a war cover from the war. It was from
Yeah.
November 44, and my dad saw, and I said, Dad, look. This date is the date you were born.
Yeah.
And he almost lost it. He was like, oh. He was just happy that I liked old stuff, and
Yeah.
I still have it. I remember I took it out a couple of days ago because my son Christopher is obsessed now with grading old comics. He likes to grade them, and he likes to smell them. And I remember I took out, I said, hey, Christopher, this is your grandpa. This comic came out the cover date, obviously it came out a month or two before, but
Yeah.
this is your grandpa's birthday cover, and he goes, let me smell it. He goes, oh, that smells good. Because you and I both know that old comics smell good, but Golden Age comics smell even better
They
than
do if
Silver
they're
Age.
well taken care of, but if
Yes.
there's any kind of mold, oh
I
my
know. Well,
God,
of
it's
course.
awful.
Well, of course, yeah.
Have you ever got an older book and it looks like really good, but it stinks?
Of course. I
Yeah.
mean, remember I bought lots of old comics for nothing. And then what's funny is I kind of bummed. There was a period maybe about 10 years ago where I started, there's always that period where you collect as a younger person without a keen eye to grading. And you probably don't care as much, but there was a period where I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to actually go through all these comics that I've bought since I was a kid and identify the ones where I bought and they're like incomplete. They're missing story pages or there's literally like horrible defects, like the one copy of FF6 that was left out on the beach, I left out on the dock. It was the most wrinkled, stinky comic ever, but I read it and I loved it because it was the first villain team up, But I remember I took those and I sold them, just about 6, 7 years ago or something maybe. I sold them to my comic shop for one reason only. I was making a concerted effort to upgrade the quality of the worst in terms of grade wise. Like, I literally felt in my heart that these are going to make all my comics stink this bad, like the ocean.
Well,
And
I
so.
still have to this day, and I really got a I don't know what how I damaged the books, but there was one collection I bought, like a full run of something, and it was not even a popular title. It was like a Bronze Age title. I think it was The Fly, but Marvel's The Fly. But I remember distinctively getting them and saying, "Man, these are an amazing, amazing shape," just like the guy told me. The description nailed the grade and everything. I was real satisfied. But then I opened it up after the thing, and I'm like, holy shit, they smell like gasoline.
Yeah, it's not
Because
good.
it's almost like they, well, that newsprint absorbs smell.
Like they're stored
So
in
if they stored it in a
a shop.
garage, or they
Yeah.
stored it next to like maybe a lawnmower where the gasoline
The
stored or
gas tank,
something,
the gas
yeah, the
can, yeah.
gas tank, and it absorbed the smell, and it was awful. But the books look like, man,
They look good, but
they were like fantastic, like right off the shelf.
so there was a period where I really got not obsessed, but like I really wanted to upgrade, and there was a period where I kind of slowed down. Maybe this was maybe 10 years ago, I don't know, where I stopped buying as many older comics because I lacked faith in my ability at conventions to real, because I was starting to spend a little bit more money. I was out of law school, I had some money to spend, I'm like, I still want to keep buying old comics, but I felt like I was getting taken because I wasn't doing a good job of examining them at a convention, and what ended up happening is I started buying stuff at a fair price for a certain grade, and then noticing when I got home that when I was flipping through it at the convention, that I noticed there were a couple of hidden defects, but like I would buy something that was like a VF minus or a fine plus or something, and I would get home and I would notice that the centerfold was detached and I didn't catch it at the
Yeah.
convention, and I felt it doesn't, I don't, that's a personal pet peeve of mine is when the centerfolds are detached. I don't know why, but it just feels wrong to me. Like, I don't care if it's a VG copy that's kind of banged up, but I don't like covers that are not attached or centerfolds that
Well,
aren't attached.
just to
Something
refresh
about
my memory, what is a detached cover? If that's the worst defect,
you can,
what?
oh, well, see, this is interesting. So, technically, it can be up to like I think a fine minus
Yeah.
or even a fine plus. The key is you have to, like, if CGC, right? If CGC has a book, they can still have it as a 6.0 with a detached centerfold, but they note it in the gray, in on the front. So you can still have, like, so let's say it's raw. If someone says, hey, this is a 5.5 V fine minus and has a detached centerfold, they're not lying. But because I think it's up to, yeah, fine minus that you can have
One
one
centerfold
staple detached.
detached,
One
but
page, one
in this
staple.
case it's the centerfold, which means both staples are detached in
Oh
the
yeah, well,
center.
if both, no, if both, it's like, I think it's like a 3.5, I think, right?
Okay.
If I think. It's been a while. You're catching me off guard, but it's not the grade I want. And forget about grading. I just don't like it. And so there was a period where I went through every comic I owned in my entire collection, and I made a note in pencil on the back of the backing board if there was a defect like that. And what I've been doing is going back and upgrading anything like that. And there were and what really bummed me out is there were way more than I thought. Like, I went through my FF collection, and a lot of my key issues I bought when I was young, teenager, at these conventions, sure enough, one centerfold detached, or a Marvel value stamp missing, or a page missing. And I realized, man, and maybe rightfully so, I didn't care as a kid as long as I could read the story. But now I don't want that in my collection. And so I've been upgrading. And that's why I've been buying CGC a lot, because of the restoration and the missing and that sort of thing, the check. And then, of course, I break them out.
But you have the official grade and you save the grade that
Of
was
course, yeah,
there,
I,
yeah.
yeah. Well, I mean, but so, and that's what's
Well,
so
you
key.
actually gave me one of those that was graded. It was
I did.
Tales to Astonish with Kazar on it. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
No, Amazing Adventures, wasn't it?
Yeah, amazing. I thought it was Tales to Astonish, but maybe it is
I
Amazing
think it was Amazing
Adventures.
Adventures 1 with Dr. Doom and Kazar on the
Yeah,
front.
that's what it was.
I bought that, yeah. It just, there was a period where I just kind of realized I needed to focus on my collection, and a lot of like one-off issues I just gave away to friends or sold. And I didn't feel like it diminished my collection at all. Like I liked it, I read it, and it's like, you know what? I just don't need it. And I would give I Flash was another one I realized I just was never going to get. A significant, it was just cost too much money. I wasn't making enough progress. I was trying to collect FF, Batman, Detective, Flash, Challenges of the Unknown, and I just realized I wasn't making progress on them, and it wasn't as satisfying. I wanted to make more progress in a given year. Like there were years would go, a year would go by where I go to conventions and buy old comics, and I wouldn't pick up a single Flash. I'd be like, that's kind of, it's just I didn't see myself making progress. So I said, you know, I'm gonna focus. And what made me stop buying the old Flash issues, and I got rid of the Flash issues, was I bought a beautiful copy of Flash 109, which is a early issue, because you and I both know that the first issue of Flash after Showcase was, you remember?
105.
Yep, that's right. So in a way, Flash 109 was like 5, 6, 7, 8, was like Flash 5 in a way,
Yeah,
you know.
yeah.
I bought a beautiful 8 VF 80 CGC copy. Beautiful. And I got a great deal, and now it's worth a lot of money. But I broke it out because I wanted to read it and I wanted
Yeah.
to smell it. And so I broke it out. And this is when my oldest son, was like 1.5. And I remember one day I came home and my wife said, oh, Christopher like opened up one of your comic drawers and was like looking, like pulling them out. A 1.5-year-old, I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, uh-oh. So I went down, and sure enough, like all the old Silver Age Flash comics were just all over the floor. I'm like, oh, he might have messed up one or two, but whatever. I don't care. Maybe I should put them somewhere else. But didn't think anything of it.
Well, that
But then I
was
know.
the second appearance of Mirror Master, 109.
But then I noticed my 109, which was my by far in a way most expensive one, was over in the corner of my basement in our comic room. I'm like, oh, it's way over there. That's weird. And I walked over and I noticed that he had been chewing on the Mylar, the top right corner. I remember to this day, the top right corner, he'd been chewing on it as like an 18-month-old toddler.
Yeah.
And the water had like gone, because that was a flap, right? So the water from him
His
chewing and sucking on it,
saliva.
his saliva went in the flap and down, and the entire top right part of the comic was completely water stained and totally fucked up. And I'm like, oh, damn.
Damn.
And I'm like, okay, well, that's the that, yeah, that was like my pinnacle piece. That was like my showpiece of my run at that point. I'm like, oh well.
Yeah, my showpiece of Flash is 114. I have
That is 114, 114. That is Captain Cold.
it is Captain Cold, yeah,
Yeah.
it's the origin of Captain Cold.
You know how nerdy we get, bro. I know
Yep.
all that.
Second
Yeah,
appearance.
that's and then I remember I sold so but I had some oh, I should have given them to you. Fuck, I sold them to mycomicshop.com and got a ton of money for them, and I used that to buy a lot of Batman stuff,
Even
but
the saliva one?
sold the saliva one and they graded it like horribly. They said, we'll give you like 3-0 quality money for it, which is still a lot.
It's
'Cause
still a lot,
there
yeah.
was a time where mycomicshop.com, their algorithms for pricing on old stuff, they gave you way more money than they should have. I remember my FF6 that I sold that was like water stained beyond all doubt. Like it was the crappiest copy I've ever seen. It was complete, but it was smelled so bad. And it was ring. It literally, if you set it down on the carpet, it was like an inch tall because of the waves, you know? And I remember they gave me like $300 for it or some stupid number. I'm like, are you out of your
Yeah,
fuck?
wow.
Because I looked online and I didn't know what to grade it, so I just sent it in. And they sent me back, like, here's what we graded, here's what we'll give you for it. And I
Yeah.
just laughed all the way to the bank. I mean, it was hysterical. But I also sold them a few that were really great condition that I should have given to you. Yeah, like, I had a
The
Flash
one.
110. I had Flash 110
Oh, wow.
in fine condition. And you know what Flash 110 is.
First appearance of Kid Flash and Weather Wizard.
Sold it for like $150. That comic is worth so much more. But oh well, what are you gonna do?
And that's one that like is
I regret.
it what's gonna keep going
I know.
up.
I know. I know. What are you gonna do? But it's not
Because
like I have so much.
when you look at a lot of people are interested like in Wally, like just because
Well, me too.
he's had such a long run, you know,
I'm a little,
as the character.
did I give you any other ones from the flat? I remember I
Oh yeah,
had
you gave me a chunk of 20 centers, so it must have been
oh
about like Let me see if I can find
Well,
it.
I also had like Flash of, I had Flash of Two Worlds. I sold. I
I
had.
recently bought that one, and I
That's a.
bought it for such a good price. I was really happy with that one.
I'm happy for you. I that's
I was
it's a great issue to
ecstatic.
have. I had also the second. I also had the not. Because remember, there was the Flash of Two Worlds, but then there was also, God, what was it? There was another crossover one. It was like 139, I think, or something. But there were some important issues that I got rid of too. I'm a little bummed I got rid of them, but
I
whatever.
think
What are
some
you
of
gonna
the
do?
ones you gave me was in the 20 center.
Yeah, those were way later ones. Those are probably the ones that they weren't buying, so I thought,
But
well, I gotta find a home for
those were
these.
cool issues, because you got to remember in the 20 centers, Green Lantern didn't have his own book, so
That's right.
he was the backup feature for Flash. That was really
Let's.
a fantastic, like my first Flash cover. I mean, I had Flash before this with no cover, but my first Flash cover that I bought was the one where they were in the museum, and Flash was like at the, or the caretaker. Do you remember the caretaker?
Course.
The funky,
Of course.
shoulder things. He was walking in, and he looked at all the wax figures, and all the wax figures had Flash. Like, he was on the ground, and they were still looking like they were wax figures, and he had like this startling image on his face. But I it's like ingrained, that cover's ingrained in my brain, because you always remember some of your firsts,
Of course. Oh no, it's a family show now. Come on now.
Yeah. It's issue 234.
I love Flash. I mean, I have all the archives
Yeah,
now,
and
so I
that's
can
why
reread them.
I
But I
just
love.
love the Rogues, because of this issue. It was like I was like Captain Boomerang, Pied Piper, Captain Cold, and Heat Wave. I mean, you can't get better than that. I mean,
Mirror Master, Gorilla Grodd.
yeah.
Well, I mean, Gorilla Grodd's not a rogue, but I mean his rogues gallery. I'm just
I think
absolutely loved it.
Gorilla Grodd is a rogues gallery. He's
You
just
think
not.
so? I don't consider him.
I think he's a villain of the Flash, but I don't think he's part of the rogues. Like, he would never team up.
He's a rogue in a little R sense. He's a rogue, but he's not one of the rogues. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
the rogues kind of stick together.
Yeah. Well, there's another aspect that only the more recent collectors might not recognize, and this is a funny story. I was talking to Tommy at Awesome Con, and we were talking about old Batman comics that I bought, and I showed him one. I said, "This one I love because this is one of the mystery analysts of Gotham that I was missing." And he looked at me, he says, "What are you talking about?" I said, the mystery analysts of Gotham, when Julie Schwartz took over, there was a backup where there was like this group of people. They called themselves like the mystery analysts of Gotham, where they talked about crime and like investigated crime. And it was like Commissioner Gordon was one, Batman was one, and there were like all these other just like random guys. Like it was almost like a book club for crime, and they were funny stories. But what my point is there was a lot of backups that they don't get reprinted in the arc. Or the reprints, and it's I like to read the back. I like to read the backups, and even in the Golden Age one, right, where they would have like so many stories, and you until you actually own or read an old Batman or detective or something, you don't realize that 12 pages it was Batman, and then pages it was Slam Bradley, and then
Yeah,
12 pages of it
with a
was
lot of the Golden Age archives, you won't get those extra
You won't get that.
stories.
And you won't get the one
All you
pager or
get,
two pagers.
even if you go into the Charlton, you get like the archive of Captain Atom. All you get is the Captain Atom 8-page story. That's
Right,
it. And
exactly.
then it just
And
builds on that. But you don't get those backups
you
at
don't get the
all.
backups, which add
Just
context to
like
what
if
was
you
going
were.
on at the
Just like if
time.
you were in the Robin in Star Spangled Comics, you would not get all
Yes.
that other stuff.
You want to get what, like Star Spangled Kid? You want to
Yeah,
get the
Doctor
Newsboy,
13,
Doctor,
all that
yeah.
stuff. Yeah.
Which, maybe people nowadays just want to read the main story, but there was something about reading them in the original issue that makes me feel like I have a better sense of when they're from. I mean, I don't know, I like it, but like especially the Batman backups. it makes me happy to read and say, okay, yeah, this is the era when Green Arrow was the backup. This is the era when Elongated Man was in here. This
Right.
is the era when, you know, whatever. It's always fun to read the backups, but it's because I remember Batman in the late 50s or the early 60s. You might remember this, but there would be multiple stories. Like I bought Ace Bat Hound issue 158, which
a detective shows or Batman?
Batman.
Okay, Batman.
Queen is from like 1963, I think, and the cover shows Ace the Bat Hound breathing fire at Batman and Robin, and it was a story where Batmite wanted to like cause trouble, so he gave Ace superpowers. and he was like helping Batman, and Batman was like, oh, what the hell, I don't know how this happened. But it was only like a 12 page story, but then there was another 10 page story after it, and then there was another 10 page story after. So there were three Batman stories in one issue.
Yeah, I recently bought this one too. It's a pretty crazy cover.
I just don't know if people, it's sometimes I think people forget that sometimes there are short stories, but there are a lot of them. And because I remember, like, when you look at the Batman encyclopedias and stuff, like the old Fleischer one that covered the 50s and 60s stuff, you would see his little notes, and it would say, like, oh, you know, Ace the Bat Hound appeared in this issue and did this, and it would say, it'd be a reference. It would say Batman 158 slash 1. And it'd be like, slash 1? And then you realize he was talking about the first story. Because you can't just reference the issue. You have to reference which story in the issue.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays, like, could you imagine having like multiple stories in one issue of comic? I mean,
well, unless it's Legends of the DC or whatever. That's an $8 anthology. But Batman, the one cover that I looked at for a month, because I buy the DC vintage calendars.
Okay.
And the one cover I'm dying to get is one that is 156, which is Batman holding Robin.
Robin dies at dawn.
Yeah.
I bought that recently. I bought that last year at Awesome Con. Tom and I were walking around, and I told him that was one that I was looking for, because I thought it was it's before. It's when they were still not rare, but I mean, they weren't selling well. I thought it was such a key cover. So neat looking. Because nothing actually happens, like, that was important. It was no first appearance of a villain or anything. But the cover is so beautiful.
Yeah.
That I thought, I need to buy this before it starts getting too expensive because of whatever reason.
The and thing that caught me is, I saw it, I looked at it, because I have my computer screen, and off to my left of my computer screen, I have my vintage calendar. I looked at this every day for a month, and I was like, I gotta get this cover. So that's like
on my next. It's hard to find. It's not
my
easy
next,
to find.
Want list, because I have 153, 154, 155, 157, 158.
You know 155, right?
I have 155, which is the first appearance of the Penguin.
Silver Age. I bought that at Comic Link auction just a couple months ago.
Well, I was very smart. My best purchases was when I was a junior in college. For some reason, I went on this rampage of finding first appearances, and it was the best thing I've ever done for the prices that I got these things for.
Look at you, man.
Yeah, it was the smartest thing. I was like, I want the first. I didn't get some of them, like, because it was more targeting things
Goddamn,
that were
bats
around
flying behind me,
so. 1960 and greater, because before that,
key,
it got,
man.
Got
well,
like,
I,
ridiculous.
Did you get like Ivy and Riddler,
yes,
and Scarecrow?
I have Ivy, Riddler,
man,
and
I'm
Scarecrow.
I'm missing. Those are the three big ones. The big one is
well,
the one that you and I talked
same,
about.
I bought those at the same time.
Smart man, I'm telling you. Well, you know the one that you don't have and I don't have, but I will have in the next year or two, is 121.
121 I don't have. Yep, that's for sure.
Mr. Freeze.
Yep.
That book, I started looking at it
And that
Seriously,
what a
5 years ago.
fantastic cover.
Oh, the
I mean,
cover's
it is
amazing.
brilliant.
And in 5 years ago, in 6-0, you would have had to spend $400 on that. Now, you know how much a 6-0 runs you? Too large.
Yeah.
That book has blown up, and I'm pissed off because I was looking at I could have bought it, but I just that's everyone has those stories. But I also did not get I do not have Ivy, Scarecrow, or the Riddler first appearances. Those are like my only key issues I'm missing now, and I gotta start. I have to buy one a year, but I gotta get them. But the ones I bought first Roz. I bought 232. I bought first Two-Face 234. Years and years and years ago, same situation. I got them for Comic Link used to be a great place to buy comics. You could buy like a 7-0 copy and in one of their auctions. I think I bought this like 5 years ago. I bought like 232 first Roz in like very fine for like $120. Ridiculous price. Good price. But now you look and they're through the roof. But
Yeah, I actually bought mine in very fine, but
damn.
at the same time, that was when I was in college, so
That's
I got it for pretty cheap.
well you yeah you that's another thing
Because
I've really started being
it was
snobby
before
about
like
grades.
all the media, the it was before like Roz blew up, like
Oh yeah,
with the
totally.
before the movies, before he was in the animated series. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
It
here
was before and now he's like key in everything. Like he's in Arrow, he's in everything that you
Well, you know
see.
what's funny? I know it's about Batman, and we're gonna go a little nerdy here. Obviously, Neil Adams covers and Neil Adams cover and we does the art. Those issues have always been in demand. Those issues have been in demand since you and I started collecting comics. That's not new. But there wasn't the differentiation in individual issues as much back when we were buying them. Like yes, 232's first Roz, and it was a Neil Adams issue. And so yes, it's always been in demand, but it was never crazy, and it's only slightly more than the other Adams issues. But now there's been this that now they've grown apart. Now a regular Adams issue is still in demand, but those first appearances have just recently
Yeah.
gotten crazy.
And
That first.
a lot of the first appearances of the Silver Age have gotten crazy. I mean, like the first appearance of Two-Face in the Silver
234.
Age. Yeah,
234. I
234.
have that. I
Yeah.
love that copy. Oh, God, that's a beautiful cover with the ghost
So
pirate ship. Hey,
and I
what's up?
bought that one at the same time because I knew I could
Man,
afford
you're a smart man.
I knew I could afford the books of their second appearances, but couldn't do the first. You know what I mean? Because they were
I do,
Golden
yeah.
Age,
Right.
and for the most part, they weren't even available. Like it's harder to
Oh, I know.
find a Golden Age book than it is a Silver Age.
I've only recently started going all in on Golden Age stuff, and that's only because I found dealers that I trust and that grade fairly and have them and have the stock in the first place. I mean, like you said, that's the first part. Find someone who has it and then find someone who isn't trying to just like kind of bullshit you on the grade and just sell it for a ton of money because it's a good book for them even.
Right.
But
So
yeah.
let's focus on your collection. I know you focus on certain titles, and one of them is Batman. So sort of anything Batman related, right? Is what you're shooting for, which is any Detective and Batman, of course, which are the primary ones, and then any mini that might have spawned from it. Yeah.
Yeah,
And then
that's.
we've talked about Fantastic Four. You used to have a lot of Flash, but you sold it. So what else in your collection is are you targeting besides Batman and
Well, I mean the big ones are the big ones are Batman, Detective, and Fantastic Four. But I also have some other ones that people can laugh at, but they're important to me. One of them is extremely scarce and very hard to find and very low. There are not many issues of them, and that's Charlie Chan.
Yeah, those covers are amazing. Like I got to see them, not live, but I've seen them when you post them to me.
The Charlie Chan, this is super nerdy, but I mean, Charlie Chan is my father always would watch he would watch TV late at night, and he would let me sneak down into the basement after my mom went to bed, and he would let me watch like the old Sherlock Holmes and Charlie Chan shows he was watching on like late night TV. And I fell in love with them, probably because my dad loved them so much. But Charlie Chan had a run in the 40s, and it was some of Infantino's earliest work, actually, because Simon and Kirby did the cover. These are like during the war, or slightly after the war. And Simon and Kirby would do the covers, and then a lot of the interior stuff was Infantino, like young Infantino, obviously, you know, teenager almost probably. But there were only 5 issues that were published, and then they moved over to a different publisher, Charlton, for like 6 through 9. And then in the 60s, they had New Adventures of Charlie Chan, which DC actually put out, and that was the last really meaningful Charlie Chan comic. But it's every time I go to a convention, you can have the biggest fucking dealers in the world, Metropolis or whoever, and I go up to them and say, "Hey guys, you got any Crestwood Charlie Chan?" And they look at me and smile and say, "I had one issue last year, and that was it, man." And I just every time I see one that I don't have, I buy them. But
Just out of curiosity, because they look like they'd be hard to find, but are those DC ones hard to find?
yes, they're very
Yes,
scarce.
I thought so, because the 1950, like things like Phantom Stranger number one, are they're look you can ask and ask, but you'll never see a dealer have it usually.
Richard, from Tomorrow's Treasures had a had a Charlie Chan number 3 from DC, and I didn't buy it, but I should have. That was just a couple weeks ago, but I was buying too much Batman at the time, so I didn't buy it. So I'm a little bummed about that. But so I collect that.
Do you
I
buy?
also.
I have a question for you, because since we've been going to cons together, almost every year I buy at least 20 to 30 books from Tomorrow's Treasures or whatever. So my question to you is, do you buy from Tomorrow's Treasures when they're not at cons?
Well, what do you mean, like on the internet
Like
or something?
online, yeah.
No, never buy online. It's just not. That robs me of half of the fun.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know
I
if they
mean,
had like a really good online presence or
no, they
not.
do. I think it robs me of some of the excitement of like looking at what he, because he does these shows. These are shows that Hassan and I and Tom go to like twice a year,
Yeah.
at the hotel down at Tyson's Corner. He has a conference room where it's just him. He brings all his books, and all of his local customers come, and you can look through every book he has in a conference room, just customers of his. So everyone there is looking, and I use most of my comics at those events that he has.
Yeah.
But I don't buy online. I buy from, there's a couple of, I don't really buy online from anyone. I'll buy Comic Link if there's a key issue that I'm wanting and I'm just kind of bored and they have some fun underpriced stuff at auction. But generally I buy in person.
Yeah.
Almost always, because there's no substitute. Because you know how it is. There's certain things that you don't like. Like there's
Well,
certain
especially
defects.
if it's not in a graded state. Yeah, there's certain defects that might turn you off, and they grade it
Well,
at
you
certain, and
exactly. You
you can't pull it out and just examine it for yourself.
exactly. And that's where I bought my Detective Comics 52. It's
Yeah.
my only pre-war comic I've ever bought. I bought it in person from him at those Tyson events, and I won't buy anything like that that's not in person anymore. It's just not as fun, and it's not like I'm buying tons and tons and tons of comics, so I can
Right.
wait, and buy them in person.
Well, the one of the other things I know you do is the Valiant. Like, you keep all that stuff, right?
Of course, but
Yeah.
I mean,
And
I don't
Ninja Turtles, do you do that?
the old stuff. No, and then I have all my old Ninja Turtle comics, but I never had number one or number two or anything, and they're so expensive that I just decided to keep the individual comics I had from my childhood, and have the beautiful hardcover collections of them. But I don't actually buy the old. I don't seek out the old back issues.
Yeah.
What else do I buy? Punisher? Anything Punisher? We're not talking high dollar value at all,
Well, you
obviously.
have his first appearance then?
I do not.
Okay.
I need to find one. I don't have that. I've been looking for it. I'm trying to find one in the right grade for the right price. I don't want to overpay. But I didn't really, honestly, I've had chances to buy it. I just never pulled the trigger. See, I don't only buy expensive comics. I also like the 80s run of Punisher. I have that.
Yeah,
Obviously,
yeah.
completes one of my most favorite collections ever. But otherwise, if we're talking old stuff, I don't really have too many other comics like 80s and before that I try to seek out complete runs of. Other than that's more, I focus. That's the only reason I've made the progress on that detective in F that I've made is because I've.
Yeah.
Focus. Like you buy way more than me. Hello.
Hey, one of the other things I wanted to ask you, Chris, is some of the supplies and stuff that you use to, storage mechanisms and,
Love it. Let's talk about that.
yeah, because I think we have a lot in common, except for sometimes you tend to buy the nicer. You have your comic cubes still, right? Or did those
I
go
do.
away?
Oh God, no, never, never.
Well, I know
Those are.
you move. I know you moved that wall for a bed, and I don't know what was on that wall. Was that just your
Transformers.
Transformers?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, those aren't moving anywhere. I have. Let me see. I can see them right here. I'm outside on my porch, but I have a custom made 6-drawer wooden comic condo, whatever that Adam made. That I bought at Super Show a long time ago now, it seems like. And that stores my entire run of Fantastic Four. And then I have another unit that's modular. Those are the comic cubes. Because he made two different types. He had ones that were self-enclosed pieces of furniture that you can't move around or change. And that's what I have from FF. And then he has the modular ones that I bought in the exact same finish and everything, same knobs and everything. And those are modular, and I have it in a three row high, 4 column wide, so 12 units. And it just looks like a piece of furniture. You've seen it looks like a piece of
Yeah,
furniture.
they're really nice. Matter of fact, we didn't meet at Super Show, but I think that was the same Super Show that we were at.
Right.
Both
I
at it at the
drove.
same time.
He was set up over by the snack stand. Remember, he was showcasing all of
Yeah.
his. And I and after the end of the show, I drove my car onto the floor. And my expedition, and he put it in the back of my put
Yeah.
it in the back. That's the first time I met Jason. He saw me putting it in the back of my talk, but anyway, so that holds so 12 drawers that holds all of my Batman and Detective,
Yeah.
which there's a lot of them. But in terms, so that's where I store like my high value comics.
Because it looks
And then
like
I,
furniture. It's like
it
furniture.
looks. Looks like furniture. There's no
Yeah.
white long boxes around, and that's I think makes my wife happy. But then the other stuff. I mean, I still have. If I don't focus on older stuff, I still have probably. Excuse me. Let me quick math. I probably have like 50 short boxes of comics in my storage unit on movable racks that like have wheels on them, and those are just like acid free. Comic boxes from E. Gerber, and those are just everything else, frankly. Valiant, all my 80s and 90s comics that have made the cut, and
Yeah.
everything else. And then in terms of bags and boards, you and I are on the same page here. I'm very nerdy when it comes to this. I only buy the E. Gerber Mylars. I buy the Mylar the twos, the Mylar twos, and I buy the full backing because I don't buy the half
And
backs.
I do the halfback, so that we're a little different.
I like the added, because the space isn't super. I mean, it limit
Yeah,
you a little bit in
you
space.
get with the halfbacks, you get a little bit of a bend. With the fullback, you almost get nothing.
Which is what I love, and so I
Yeah,
get the
yeah.
full back. But what I just do the Batman. Section spans, 70 years. I thought, you know what? I'm going to get. I use the silver slash silver age. I forget exactly what it's called, but it's the silver age ones. They're really wide. Not really why, but they're why. And so I had Batman comics from like the late 40s or the 50s all the way through now in the exact same Mylar 2s and fullbacks, so they're all uniform. And then recently, what I've had to do is I've been getting some of the older issues. I had to buy the gold. I had to buy 50 of the golden Mylar 2s, and I had to buy 50 of the super golden Mylar 2s, which
How
is
much?
for.
We both order from the same place. How do you place your order? I mean, do you like order 100 at a time, or what do you do?
Super gold
You're actually
deal.
breaking up again. Are you getting farther
Damn
from
it.
the house?
No, but I can go inside. Hold on. God damn it. Hold on. Yeah, I'll go inside. I'm
Okay.
all here. Let me fix. Damn. I don't know why I did all broken up.
I don't know why it does that, but it does that sometimes on Gotham by Geeks too.
That's when I'm on my phone.
Yeah.
Here, how's that? Is that better or not?
Yeah,
I
that's
can't remember.
better. It's better. I can
Okay.
hear you now. Before it was a
Okay.
little choppy. I could hear you, but
Okay.
every third word was like,
That's not good. Okay. Well, I'm inside now next to the router. Hopefully that helps. So I was saying that, what was I saying?
We're talking about how do you order from
How do I order?
the bags and boards. Do you order them by the hundreds and have them sent, or what
Yeah,
do you do?
I usually order at least 500 at a time.
Yeah, see, I do 1,000, so
Okay.
I do 1,000 at a time.
I do
But
500.
I haven't done the Golden Age, but I need to.
You need to?
Well, I have some that need to go into that. The right material. In other
Yeah,
words,
you need to, yeah.
they're still in the polypropylene, which I
Oh,
don't like,
yeah.
bags, because they were what I bought it in. Do you know what I mean?
I do, yeah. You'll notice, like, I mean, when I look through my Batman collection, you can, it's obvious. Like, if you have stuff that's war era, or even right after it, it's a distinct width. And then if you
Yeah.
go into the late 40s, early 50s, it's another distinct width, and it's still wide. And it's not until, like, I'd say the mid 50s, late 50s, that you start getting into more of like what we know as like the Silver Age size, you know? And it's not wide. It doesn't allow for any room on the side. So, luckily my comic condos accommodate any width of issue. So I only have like five comics in the super gold, and I'll have by 10 more in the gold. But just
Yeah.
having the right one for each makes me
It
feel
actually matters because it
better.
needs that extra space.
It needs that extra
Uh,
space. It is.
especially as you go into Golden Age, and it might not be as crisp on that left-hand
Yes.
side.
And I
Because
actually.
if you start getting the wrong size, you could actually chip your books
You could. And it's tougher to put it. Because remember what happened to
to
that
get
one
it in
issue,
and
right?
out. Yeah, that
Remember
one
what.
issue you talked about,
The
yeah.
Batman 68, where I was like sliding it in. There wasn't quite enough room, and actually created a little tear when I was putting it in. I go, oh,
Yep.
god damn.
Yeah.
So I do that. That makes me feel good to have them in the right bags. But otherwise, for everything else, for all the new stuff, I have the standard, like the current, I think it's called current or standard. Not
Yeah.
current, but like standard. And so I technically have four different sizes of Mylars available. This sounds so nerdy. I don't care. But we're safe here, right? This is a safe zone.
Oh
We can
yeah.
talk about this
That's what
stuff.
this is collector's corner. This is collector's stuff.
I have little acrylic like magazine folders, like these see-through like acrylic like little magazine racks that you can put on your shelf. And I have all four types standing by if I buy a comic, and I have it labeled like super gold, silver, standard, like a little label maker. And I just pull out the right one and put a comic in them and tape it up. And
Yeah.
that sounds so beyond nerdy, but it's nice to have the right
It's almost
materials.
like a store would do it, because a
Exactly.
lot of stores sell singles like that, you know.
Right. So yeah, so I buy a lot of them at a time. I always have them on hand. I order them. I know you don't like how you can't order them online, but I call up and talk to that nice lady, and she says, "Is this still your information?" I said, "Yep." And then she
Yeah.
just, I mean, it's.
I just ordered it. I think that one time you caught me grouchy because the first time I called, she put me on hold and then didn't come back. And then the second time I
Oh.
called back, it like took forever. So I was like, God damn it. If I could just go, and it was like on a day that they were getting ready to close. Like it was like a Friday. They were
Oh
like
yeah.
closed on Monday or Saturday, Sunday, and Monday or something like that.
She's in the main area like doing packaging, and if you
Yeah,
call, she
yeah.
picks up the phone and says, "Okay, you want to do an order?" And then she hangs the phone up and walks into the business office
That's
and like picks
right.
the phone up again and says, "All right, I'm in front of the computer now. What do you want?"
Now I noticed they added waiting music on my last
Oh,
order, so I
I
had like music
noticed.
playing as I was on hold,
That's.
as she moved from one area to the other because I just placed an order for 1,000 because I like get down to the I like forward stock. Like
Oh, of
my whole
course.
storage unit is full of short boxes. Like, and I like to have at least 30 in there. And I've got.
If you don't have them, it jams up your flow. You want to
Oh
know
yeah,
that if you
you
get
can't
something
have
in.
my flow. It has to happen in the order that it is right now. It's like I get the comics from DCBS, or from back issue, whatever.
Yeah.
The first thing I do is I sort them in a certain order. I enter them into my database, and then I bag and board them, and that I do that immediately, and then
Well,
put them into boxes, and then I put them into read, and then to read and not the ones that are already read, I file.
there's one thing that is different with you and me, is our inventory system.
Yes. And I
When
wanted to talk to you about that because your inventory system worries the hell out of me for a couple reasons, and
tell me.
I hope that's not your only. What if you lose that book?
What if I lose what my little black book?
Your little black book.
Guess what? I just have to recreate it by the only thing that's in my little black book is, whatever 30 pages or whatever of that nicely lined grid work where it has every issue of Batman Detective possible.
Yeah.
And then if I have it, I black it out. And so the only thing, it's just like a grid work. It's like if I need it, there's a little box with a number in it. That means I need it. If I lose it, I would have to recreate it. But it's not like, but they're all right here. I'm knocking on it right now.
But see,
They're all there.
for me, if I did that, I'd be devastated because mine isn't just like open up these drawer boxes and
But
re-inventory. Mine
yeah.
is open up hundreds of thousands. I'd have to
That's a that would
lift
be a
and
problem.
yeah, and I still have like everything prior to when the drawer box was invented. I have not moved over to drawer box.
Well, because you have so many I mean, I have a lot of comics, but you do. I mean, I could inventory my comics in a weekend if I had to.
Yeah.
Because I mean, a lot of it's too. So the stuff that I collect, I have very not very few holes, but like it's like for Batman, I have I think God, what is it? 293 up complete. So if I lost the books, like, well, I know I have 293 up and complete. Then it's just a matter of figuring out from Batman 1 to 291 what I have. And that's just a matter of looking through two drawer boxes or
Yeah.
two drawers. And I could just, figure out where the holes are and do it. But for everything other than Batman, Detective, and Fantastic Four, I'm not actively buying those at conventions, And
Yeah.
so that's basically what my little black book is. It's just the three main runs that I'm buying. And so, yeah, if I lose it, it's a problem for a little while. But I mean, you know me, I keep it in my back pocket at every convention. Like,
Yeah.
I never have to like run reports or anything. It's there. I mean, I've even bought comics when I'm at work, like at lunchtime, and I'll actually be in my little work bag. I'll just pull out my work bag and say, I'm gonna go buy some comics online. Just buy it. But when I get them in, when I get them in, I will cross them off in my little black book, obviously before. Well, I don't want to do that first. What I do first is those little acrylic magazine holders. I have like seven or eight of them on a shelf downstairs. When you're in my basement, how there's
Yeah.
a bathroom in my basement? There's
Yeah.
a little hallway there, and there's bookcases with all of Laura's stuff. I have one shelf in there. There's just a row of like seven or eight of those acrylic magazine holders, and the two or three to the left have little labels that say to read, and that's where I put my DCBS comics when they come in. I just throw them there. First, they literally come in the door, I open them, and I throw them in there. Then what happens is I read them. They go from the to read to the acrylic holders to the right, where there's two of them that say to file. And so I just put them there. And then to the right of them, I have my four acrylic holders with the different size of Mylars. And so when the to file box gets magazine holders gets too big and gets full with like maybe 40, 50 issues, then one day I'll do a Mike Myers and I'll sit down and I'll just pull those magazine folders off, put them next to me in my chair, and I'll just put them in the correct holders and I'll put them where they belong. You know, and
Yeah.
that's that, you know, and
Well, the one
that's.
th the other thing that we different is you do use drawer boxes, and I use drawer
I do.
boxes from the right company, the official drawer boxes. We don't like
Yes.
that BCW
No,
bullshit.
screw that nonsense.
Those are
Now,
shabby put
I.
together. But you also bought something that I didn't do. Okay, so we both buy the clips, which allow you to
Yes.
anchor the boxes together. So when you slide the drawers out, it doesn't slide
Yeah,
the
of
whole
course.
box. So we
Box
both buy
lock.
the anchors, but you also buy an additional supply, which is the railing. I do not
Yes.
buy the railing. So tell us a little bit about the railing, because you install them a little bit differently too
I
than.
install them differently because there's a defect that he has in them. So the railing are these little pieces of cardboard that go on each side of the box
Have you
on the
reported
inside.
the defect?
No.
Okay.
So what they are is they're a piece of cardboard that goes about two-thirds of the way up on each side, and every 4 inches or so there's a slit. And so it's like if you were looking at it, it looks like a big comb. It's like there's a piece of cardboard with every 4 inches there's a slit, and you put those on the left and the right side. And then what he has these like they're like dividers that you can slide down, and they kind of wherever you want in the front or in the back, so it's not always falling down. So if you only have five comics, you put it in the forward, you put the little divider slash backstop in the very front as you can. And then that creates just a little area where creates like a little mini box within a box. You could also put multiple in, I guess, if you have different titles. You could put one in the front, put one in the middle, put one in the back, and you have three different titles, and they're not falling down. Like what happens when you have a short box with only 10 comics in it, it falls down, right? So what I do is if I only have 10 comics in a drawer, I'll do that. I'll put them in the front. But what happens, is if it's not in the very first one, let's say it's in the second or the third, when the Mylars go back and forth, they snag on the unused slits that are in the drawer rail.
Which
And so
side is slagging snagging the
both.
standard?
Both. Oh, what size?
Yeah, size of Mylar is I'm
Well,
trying to get.
all of them do it. Even if it fits, like, because they'll
Yeah.
shift left or right. So even if they fit and they're not like rubbing, just by shifting left or right, they'll still catch. Now, I use the standard size, and that's the right size, but it still has the problem where they catch going back and forth, and it's really annoying.
Do you
So what I
think it catches? It's based on the Mylar. Like if you use polypropylene, it wouldn't
Nah,
catch.
maybe. That
Okay.
might be it. It might be it because it's more rigid, so it catches more.
Yeah.
But it was really annoying. And so what I did is, being a former engineering major, I got annoyed. And what I did is
Yeah, troubleshot. Yeah.
troubleshot it. I figured, well, let me see. What's causing the problem? The problem is caused by these ridges at the top. What if I inverted them and installed them upside down? And so I figure out where I want the divider. I put the divider in. I flip it upside down, make a little cut in to make it look. I make a cut in the bottom of it to make it look like the top. It was really easy. And then I install them upside down. Perfect. Works perfect. It doesn't catch, doesn't do anything. Yes, the only thing that you lose is you cannot pull up the divider, hold your comics, and slide it back. What you have to do is you have to pull out your comics, pull the whole thing out, which takes 20 seconds, move it back, and then put it back in. So,
I
mean, it's a minor thing.
I really think that if you reported it, he'd fix it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it doesn't. I mean, I found my solution.
I know, but you have your solution, but you have to do something.
Okay, maybe I'll let him know. Maybe I'll take a video of it.
That's exactly what, like, before and after, and show him that slit, because it sounds like other people could have that same problem.
It was really the worst, obviously, when I was trying to use my.
He's a really proud person of his drawer boxes. Like, he wants it to be perfect.
Well, you can understand.
Because
he
knows that the other company is so deficient in their design of it. Like, I bought some BCWs initially because, like, my comic shop will not stock the other ones because they're not easily orderable. Mm-hmm. Like, he has to order from the guy in Denver. And the guy brings his truck down and he'll... But he didn't want to do that, so I was getting BCWs for a while. Mm. They fall apart after like pulling them out several times, you know.
Yeah.
They start to bow, and they just don't have that extra support. Plus, they put those fucking lids on the top. That defeats the whole purpose of a drawer box, if you ask me.
Well, that's because of the drawer boxes is the sole reason I switched from the silver one to the standard one, which isn't the current. Current's the smallest and narrowest, right?
Yeah.
Standard is like 90s comics one, and I feel that's perfect. I will never get a thinner one than that. But it was when I was trying to put in the silver ones that it was like really crappy. I'm like, oh, well, that sucks. So that's when I ordered my first 1,000 of my standard and put all my Valiant and a lot of my other stuff in it.
Right.
And it worked better. But it still didn't get
still
rid of that.
Snagged.
It still snagged, but it shouldn't have because it wasn't like it was a tight fit, and it was really annoying. And so, but I love it. Now that they're upside down, they're perfect because you have to have them. You can't have them falling down. That's just ridiculous.
I have one last question, and this is going to involve hardcovers because you also have an extensive hardcover library that rotates a lot. But there's some of those books that are more like fixed features that you do not want to get rid of.
Yes.
And some of those are the ones I want to focus on. Some of the companies and some of the titles that you want to keep in that bookshelf.
Well, so at my main wall, which is the Billy bookcases from IKEA, but the narrow ones, because the narrow ones don't sag in the middle if you have something heavy on them.
Mm-hmm.
So I have 6 of them all joined together with brackets on the back that you can't see. So it is a tight little quad. So it's
are
6
your,
inches.
Are they your own brackets that you installed, or were they already part of the...
No, I got them.
You reinforced them then.
I reinforced them, and so they're tight, and they stay together. And it looks like it's one piece of furniture. It's 6 tall, 6 wide. So there's 36 cubby holes, and all of my like ones that I adore, that's where they live. And you can run out of space, and that's what's prompted me to cull the collection. My thought is that, you know, I can't expand because there's nowhere else to put them. I can't put them upstairs, so that it has to be that. So it's kind of not last in first out, but like least desired out first, you know, and
right.
So right now, I can tell you, it's the top row, and what's great about this is you can modify the height of it. The top row is perfectly spaced, so that's where all the absolute size ones can go. So the top row is all my DC Absolutes, DC Omnibus, Hellboy Library Editions, Turtles Ultimate Collections, that stuff, the stuff that's bigger than normal. And those are my pride and joy. I love those. And I... And then the next two rows are all... The next row is entirely Batman. I have 6 cubby holes wide of DC Archives, Batman hardcovers, anything Batman. The row below that is all my other archives, which you love too, and then just a bunch of DC books that have made the cut, you know, over the years.
Mm-hmm.
The row below it is my independent stuff. That's my Valiant Deluxe Editions, G.I. Joe complete collections, Image hardcovers, like Walking Dead and Invincible and Powers and stuff.
Right.
All the hardcovers. And then the bottom two rows are all Marvel Masterworks omnibuses and various hardcovers. And
But the Marvel Masterworks, I know you must have a focus on those.
I do.
At least the ones that you're keeping.
Yeah, I
What
do.
are some of the ones that you're keeping?
I've gotten rid of quite a few, but the
Yeah.
ones that I'm keeping, I'm missing two, which still bugs me. But I have 1 through 18 or 17 of Spider-Man. I'm missing 11 and 13, which drives me crazy. But those are like $200 a piece, so I'm just kind of
Yeah.
waiting for one to be reasonable,
An opportunity.
an opportunity to present itself. And then I have Captain America 1 through 7 or 8, and then I have Luke Cage, Black Panther, Iron Fist, Human Torch, Nick Fury, just like ones that just I love, but
Yeah.
I've gotten rid of quite a few of them
That's
just
cool that
because.
you kept the Power Man and Iron Fist though,
Oh,
'cause
you know it, man.
I
Love
love
it.
that stuff, man.
Love it. But like I don't know about you, but I don't do it as much as I used to. But I those are the things that I like to get signed by my favorite creators,
Yeah.
and a lot of them. Looking at my wall now, I'm staring at it right now. A lot of these are signed because I won't really get comics signed. I like to get the hardcover signed, and I was more than I realized. A lot of them are signed, and I'll never get rid of them. Like my Spider-Man number one masterwork signed by Stan Lee.
Yeah, I remember you waited in line for that
I
one.
waited in line for that, but
Yeah.
just I don't know, because
But the
that's
opportunity
meaningful.
was like the window is running
It's
out.
small,
Yeah.
and just other things like my All-Star Superman. I got Frank Quitely to sign. I got Mignola to sign my Hellboy Library Edition. It just means a lot to me. I remember I
Yeah.
had Bendis and Oeming sketch in my Powers one, but they're hardcovers. They're nice. They're not going anywhere. And I figure if I'm gonna have anything signed by these people, that's what I'm gonna get signed. If Neil Adams or like Eastman signed stuff, like that's what I use, because it's easy to throw in a bag and take to a convention. I remember how Keith was so fascinated a few years ago that both Giffen, DeMatteis, and Kevin Maguire were all at Baltimore the same
Yeah,
year.
that was an awesome panel. Oh, crap.
I took my JLI hardcover and had all three sign it, like stuff like that. Like you
Yeah,
just
yeah, yeah.
you'll never know when you'll get an opportunity
That was a
to.
great panel. Like it was something that you just don't see anymore. They were all in the same place talking
Same
about the
place,
creation of that.
same time. But it's
Yeah.
but I'm just getting to a point now where everything on this wall is getting it's getting tricky, because I like to cull stuff. I like okay, I read that, it was okay, but I don't really need it on my wall, and so I'll make room and put new stuff in. But it's getting to the point now where there's not much stuff to get rid of anymore. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah,
like.
that's why I'm curious. I'm really curious about the Valiant stuff because I, like you, I triple dip, which means that we both get the singles, we both get the trades, and we both get the collected hardcovers. So have you thought about that? Like maybe just going to the hardcovers or
I thought about it. What
yeah.
well, because remember, if you remember, initially they told us that when they first started doing the deluxe editions, it was kind of a trial, right?
Yeah.
And we didn't know if they were going to keep doing it, and now they've made it pretty obvious that they're going to do deluxe editions of most stuff, if
Yeah.
not everything.
Like you might not get Dead Drop or
Oh, that's true, stuff like that. But
but you will get like they're doing Dr. Mirage now, which is
they are,
pretty
which is
amazing. You get
pretty.
both all 8 issues of that.
But to answer your question, I thought about it, but no, I'm going to continue to get the trades, because it's
Yeah.
not that big of a financial outlay, and I've actually moved them out of the main comic room to a separate shelf in the hallway.
Hallway, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it worst comes to worse, I'm just going to put the trades in a short box in the laundry room with some other, like where I keep all my, because like Vertigo was one of the ones that got cut from the wall. Like my DMZ trades or my scalp trades. Like, I'm not getting rid
Yeah.
of them. I'm not getting rid of them, but I don't need to keep relatively cheap trades on
On the
that
shelf,
wall.
right.
So I just put the,
You could
I
put them in
treat
a
them,
box,
I
yeah.
put them in a short box and they're in there. So, and then what'll happen is I'll reevaluate. Like, I'm not getting rid of those ones, but like, I'll reevaluate every year or two and I'll like open up those boxes and like, oh, I still have you? Yeah, I put
Yeah.
you here initially, but you know, I don't need the like dyno, like I just read dyno, I read the Dynamo 5 trades and I've had them for years and they were on my wall. I thought I should just read these. I read them, I liked them, but you know what? I put them in the box in the laundry room. And then 2, 3 years from now, if I open it up and say, oh, I still have you, I'm never going to reread you. Maybe I'll give them away to somebody, to a friend or whatever. Like, I don't need to keep those.
Right.
But you know how it is. I mean, there's just limited space.
Well,
And
the way I'm going to approach that is I think next year or this year, I'm going to start and look for a bigger house.
are you serious?
I'm serious.
Oh, see my.
Because man, I just can't. There's certain things I can get rid of, but before the comics, it's going to be the toys. Because I have a huge collection of toys in the basement. But, and those ones I could put in a storage unit and not feel totally bad, but at the same time I think about, well, what about a really hot day? Am I damaging the toy? Because it's not in a temperature controlled storage unit like you have.
I have a temperature control
Yeah, you
movement.
have
They're nice.
which temperature control is a different story. If you have that, you're not gonna it's gonna be like having it at your house. It's not gonna be temperature damage. Wow, Spartacus is on. Oh my God. That's a
But
nude scene. Holy moly.
Jamie Murray,
Holy.
drop that wine on your nipples, girl. I but the damage, the, not the damage, the risk of it, I think about is, if it's not on my wall and it's in a storage unit, then I kind of do think about what's the point of keeping it. And what I've decided is, well, a lot of the, especially the comics, I
Yeah.
love them. I don't want to get rid of them. But and I have room now, but there will come a time when there's just not enough room, and then
And
tough
well, you're
decisions will have to be made.
the way you deal with it is you just do decisions probably like on a yearly basis
I do, I try to,
because
yeah.
you have the fire hose on. In other words, there's books coming in, but the space isn't growing.
It's not. And
It's not.
I try to deal with it a little bit at a time to kind of lessen the, you know, if I have a particular busy period where I get, you know, like 20 hardcovers in like a 6 month period, I'll start putting them on the shelf and then I'll start noticing that, wow, I'm getting down to like, I literally have room for five more hardcovers on this entire wall. And then it'll just kind of, I'll go, you know what? Time to reevaluate. And I'll pull, you know, 10 trades off the wall and say, you know, I don't really, I don't, Seven Soldiers of Victory by Grant Morrison, I don't know if I really need you on my wall. And
Yeah.
I donated them to Goodwill last week, you
So,
know.
one of the last questions I want to ask you is, because you do that, does that give you any kind of anxiety during the process? In other
No.
words, it not at all.
Not at all. You want to know why?
Well,
Because
I know you feel like relief after it, but like during the decision process, it doesn't give you any kind of anxiety?
I don't, and I'll tell you why. Is because the method I use, you can laugh at me all you want, but there's this book my wife has about, it's by this Japanese woman about how to organize your house and stuff. And like the whole thought,
What do they call that? Is that how
not
like
fe
to put the bed in the right
no, not feng
for
shui. No. It's all about like, or how to organize, but more importantly, how to know what you really want to keep and what you
it's
don't
not
want to
okay,
keep.
it's not feng shui or whatever that.
No, it's not at all. It's called, I forget what it's called. This is a little small book, and I read it.
Yeah.
My wife had it in the bathroom. I was reading it while I was taking a shit. It was powerful in one way, and one way, one, and I used it with my clothes too, which was great.
What actually made you read it though? Was it?
Seeing it for 2 years in my bathroom, in my
Oh,
wife's bath.
okay.
in the
Okay.
half bath. It's still, when you
No,
visit,
but
you can read it too.
did she say you
Nope.
should read this,
No,
or
not at all.
it just so happened it was there and you're like, I'm curious now.
Yep, that's exactly right. I
Okay.
forget what it was called. I'm gonna have to tell you what it's called. It was it's a bestseller, but someone actually knew it. I forget who I was talking to, and somebody else knew the book. It was funny. But the thing was, is she said, like, don't make the mistake of trying to figure out what new things you need to organize your space. Think first about what you want to keep, you know. And so what I would, and what she recommends is don't just like look at your stuff and try to take stuff off the shelf.
Yeah.
You have to take everything in your hand, take things off the shelf, out of the drawer, take it out and look at it and touch it. And she says, you'll be surprised. Usually you'll have this instantaneous feel of, well, as you take it off the shelf and you flip through it and look at it, you will either love it or you won't have a connection to it. And she says you'd be surprised after a while of how quick it falls on one side of the spectrum or the other. And so what I'll do is I'll look at my shelf, and you have to take it off the shelf. I take it off the shelf and I look through it and I feel nothing. And most of the stuff now, I would feel great love for everything I take off the shelf. But
Yeah.
it's almost like, kind of like, I can almost, so I just, I'll go and I'll take it and I'll go, oh, putting you right back on the shelf. I love you. But then I'll get to a title and I kind of just gloss, if I was just looking, I just kind of gloss over it and say, yep, keep that, keep that. But no, I take it off. I look at it. I'm like, I feel nothing. And it's only when I feel nothing about it
That you know it's
that
time to
it's
go.
like, it's time to go. It's like, and that's why I feel no anxiety, because I'm not trying to convince myself to get rid of something that I love. It's like recognizing that I don't have a connection to something, and so it's stress free. It doesn't bother me at all. It
Yeah.
really, it works. I know that sounds very hippy dippy, but you know, it's true.
Yeah. I don't seem to have that, but
Well, I don't want people to think that I'm just taking stuff off the wall and just like throwing it away and giving it away without a thought. I mean, most of these books have been in my collection for years and years and years and years. I've read them, and at some point I won't have time to reread everything, you know?
right. But
So, I mean,
you do know what you want to revisit at some
I
point.
do know what I want to revisit. And absolute worst case scenario, if I make a bonehead decision, I mean, look, what are the odds that there's a couple of books that I take off the wall and I look at them and I'm like, yeah, I read you a long time ago. I have zero desire to reread you right now. What is the real risk that in 5 to 10 years I'll be like heartbroken that I got rid of that particular thing? Worst
And
case scenario, I
in
rebuy it.
today's world, with a lot of the stuff too, if you did feel that, like, what a dumbass, I really want to read that, you could go digital. I mean, and just
True.
reread it, yeah.
And also, the stuff I tend to get rid of tends to be the lower value stuff, where, like, for certain things like omnibuses, where they can have tremendous value down the
Yeah.
road, I'll be a little more, you know, wary
Caution.
of it,
Yeah.
you know,
Your
like,
criteria for judging is a little higher, versus.
and for things like that, if I do pick it up and say, I have no desire for you, I'm gonna get rid of you,
I'll sell you back.
I'll actually sell it and make
Yeah.
$200 or something, so it softens the blow. But like, I remember I did that with like Alan Moore's Captain Britain series.
Yeah, yeah.
I read a lot of it. I'm like, yeah, oh, this is okay, but I had no emotional connection to it whatsoever. And
Right.
then when I found I could sell it for $200 on eBay, I sold it for $200 and just laughed all the way to the bank. And it's like, if I ever get this itch to read the rest of it, which I doubt I will, then I'll be softened by sleeping on my bed of $200, you know.
Yeah, you doubled your
But
money essentially.
triple, quadruple, because you buy it, you know, DCBS, you
Oh,
know, 50,
50% off. Yeah, if
$60.
you throw that in,
You
that's
know, it's like,
true.
holy, I mean, I'm just trying to resist every urge to sell my Ennis Punisher omnibus for $450 when I bought it for $50, but I'm not going to. But it's tough to not
Is
pull
that
the
what it's
trigger.
going for now?
It's going for like $400 minimum. Yeah.
The Ennis Punisher,
Omnibus.
omnibus?
Yep. I mean, I'm obviously not going to sell it. I mean, I don't care about that, but
I own a lot of omnibus, but I don't own that one. My theory on the omnibus is, if I had it in singles, I wasn't gonna do it. But with the older stuff, I'm
Ooh.
not gonna have. So, I want that. So like
Well,
it's Fantastic Four Volume 1. I want to keep it the volumes
right.
of the Silver Age stuff that I know that I'm not, the chances of me owning the issues is not high.
Well, I actually prefer the Masterworks. They're much more wheel. They're much more easy to read and to like. They have Marvel. They have Stan Lee and Ditko Spider-Man stuff in Omnibus. They even did a reprinting of the Volume One, right?
Well, do you still have your
But
Chronicles, or did you get rid of
no,
those?
I never got them. I didn't have no need to.
Oh,
I
the
mean,
Batman Chronicles?
well, I had no need to because
Okay.
I had the archive collection.
The thing though I love about the Chronicles is just the size and the shape. They're so easy to read.
The archives are easy to read too, though. The little archives, they're easy to read.
Yeah.
They're expensive when you think about how
The
small some of them are.
archives have gotten ridiculous expensive though. They're
What do you
well, right,
mean?
especially right. Well, the masterworks are like $75 a pop.
Oh yeah, oh I know. Well, I mean
They've gotten outrageous for the number of issues that's in the
it has.
masterworks.
It's getting to the point where, that's why I feel like that's they raised the Masterworks to 75. Now they're raising the Omnibuses to 125.
Yeah.
If I couldn't get them for 50% off, I don't know if I'd still buy them. But like I said, I'm only buying the Spider-Man and the Captain America, and
Yeah.
that's one a year maybe. So it's but yeah, you're right. It's I wish they the Archives was an amazing, amazing line. And I mean, I have obviously all the Batman ones. I have all the Flash, all the Green Lantern, the Legion, and some other ones. But God, I wish they would have kept going a little further. That's what Marvel gets a lot of credit for is I'm
Yeah.
gonna pretty soon have issues 1 through 200 of Spider-Man in
Right.
Masterworks. That's
Right.
amazing.
That is.
And it's easy to read too. Oh my God, it's so
Well,
easy to read.
let me ask you, I keep thinking of more and more questions, but
That's all right.
the new omnibuses that are coming from DC,
Yeah,
the
those are
Golden
great
Age
now.
omnibuses, how do you feel about that?
They're beautiful. They're great.
But you're happy with the there's no gutter loss that bothers you, or
No, I mean they do pretty well on that. I mean there's zero gutter loss on the archives. They're perfection.
yeah.
But I mean, yes, I'm stupid. I have the golden because they're just so pretty. The trade dress is so nice. I have the Golden Age Superman.
Yeah.
I've got the Golden Age Batman, even though I already have them in archives. I just
Right.
felt like I had to have it. I don't know why. And I've got the World's Finest Silver Age collection, which I think you have too, right? The world's
Yes. Well,
and
actually, since they've started this new omnibus line, I have every single one since. So, including the
it's
Supergirl and the Justice League.
well now what's annoying with the Justice League, right, is they came out with the Justice League Volume 2 and the new trim, but
Yeah.
the Justice League Volume 1 is a different trade dress.
Oh, is it?
Did you notice that? It's
No, I
completely
didn't
different
notice
looking.
it.
Yeah, like
I
the
don't have them
spine.
like on the shelf though right now all together
Oh,
like you
it's
do.
because the Justice. Because if you remember how maybe what 4 or 5 years ago they came
Yeah.
out with like the Green Lantern Archive, and or not the Archive Omnibus, and they came out with the Flash Silver Age Omnibus. But this was like years ago before they had the current, before they had the better binding, before they
Yeah.
had the matching trade dress on the spine, and so they actually kind of have those. It's almost like a false start, and then they realize, oh, maybe we should do these. And so now the new ones, which are just from like the last year or so, they're matching they're much better binding, everything is much better, but they have those kind of random older ones that were done before this process kind of started in
Wasn't it
earnest,
Flash and
and
Justice League?
Flash, Justice League, and Green Lantern, and I don't have any of those because they weren't made well. Because that was a big problem that DC had with their omnibuses for a while, like the Hawkman one,
But you're talking about like the Geoff Johns omnibus, right?
yes,
Yeah.
those were just poorly made. So the only DC omnibuses I have are, like I said, the Golden Age, the Silver Age one. I have the Neil Adams one, and then I have the JSA three omnibuses because those are just goddamn beautiful. And
Yeah.
I have the Wonder Woman by Perez.
Right.
And the Death of Superman, the brand new printing, which has better binding.
When
That's
did
the
that
state.
one come out, the new release?
Oh, within the last year.
Huh.
It's a huge deal for me. I hate bad bindings, and improperly made like larger comics. Like
Yeah.
you, like for a while they were not having it done properly, where you have the sewn, even partially sewn is fine, but when you lay it down, it, the binding should come up, from the book, and you should have like that little eye hole between the soft backing and the hard backing. And for a while they're doing it where you when you laid it down, the entire spine would go up and there'd be no separation between the soft and the hard backing, which
Right.
is ghetto, which is you can't do that for a 800-page book. And sure enough, they realized that eventually. And now if you look at all the new ones, when you lay it down, there's this gap on purpose between the soft binding and the which allows the pages to open up like the Marvel omnibuses
Right.
do, and only now they caught on to that. And so I won't have any. If a DC omnibus was the old style, I would either wouldn't buy it or I sold them, because they're just inferior. They're just they don't belong on the shelf. They're yeah.
But
Sounds so nerdy.
you're really happy with the Golden Age ones they're releasing
They're
then.
beautiful, but
Yeah.
if I'll tell you, you pull off everyone who's listening, if there's anyone still listening, and you have the Batman Golden Age omnibus. And you have the DC Archive Batman number one volume from 10 years before. You look at Detective Comics 27, and they have changed the issue. You look.
That was the
There's
colors and stuff, right?
no, oh no. Line work. Like they've redone word balloons. They've relettered it in places. There are places where, oh, it's different. I'll show you pictures. They have redone the artwork in places without irrefutably. It's not even, they can't even argue. Like
In the new one.
in the new one.
Yeah.
I mean that's messed up. I mean when I read
They
Detective
so
Comics
they've
27,
added
I
content.
not no they haven't added content. They've changed it. Like there'll be a panel where Commissioner Gordon, is sitting there talking to Bruce, and his face is changed, the lines and the ink work are different, and the word balloon is different shaped and it's been relettered. Now, it's not the end of the world, but I just it's interesting from a historian point of view to see they are not representing what the comic looked like. They're changing it slightly. And it's slight, but I'll take some photos after we're done recording
I
and
think I
send you
saw
two examples.
one of them on Twitter. I'm pretty sure I saw one of
It's
them.
different. It's not a big deal, but I was surprised. I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. I mean, yeah, the coloring, that's not a, I don't care about the coloring.
You
I'm talking
mastered
about
that.
actual line work. I mean, it is a different panel. Period. It's different.
Yeah.
Which is it's not a resolution thing. It's not like, oh, well, maybe they changed the resolution or maybe they have better scan. No. They changed it. Which I don't see the point of changing a word balloon. It's like the joy of the silly old Golden Age issues is the hand lettering wasn't perfect. But I mean they changed it. It's crazy. But it's fun to be able to have, that's what happens. If you collect for long enough, you'll have like old collected versions, new collected versions, and you can look at the differences.
Right. I wouldn't have noticed it because I don't have the archive, so
Oh, okay.
I think the only archives I own are the Commandy and the Charlton ones. Those are the only
Yeah.
ones I own.
Yeah, they're impossible. They're impossible. I mean, there's some that were so printed so heavily, like the All-Star ones are pretty easy to find, but they're getting harder and harder to find. And
Yeah.
eventually, it won't be a big deal because they didn't actually print as many as you think. So if they go ahead and do these Silver Age omnibuses, if they do 2 or 3 volumes of The Flash, then no one will ever feel a need to go back and get the archives and The Flash. But I find them very useful because it helps me decide what I want to do with my collection. Like, I'm never going to have a full run of Batman. That's just not possible. But what I can do is I can have a collection of every old vintage back issue from when the archives stopped,
Yeah.
because I have, like, the Batman archives go from, like, 1 to, I don't know, 25 or 1 to issue 26 or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to aim to have 27 and up because I know they're
That's
not going to do any
right.
more.
Right. That makes sense. That was my initial logic on the omnibus is like I've since decided to buy some of those issues, but
that's different. That's
it,
fine.
it depends on the opportunity arising.
Right.
I have a really good shop owner, and he keeps an eye out for me, and he gives me incredible discounts. So
it makes it it makes it must make you feel like for example, they're coming out with a Wonder Woman one, the Golden Age Wonder Woman omnibus.
Yeah, I'm stoked about that one.
Which I'm obviously buying. You're obviously buying, yeah. Right? But let's just say you decide to really focus more on collecting her issues, and including the Golden Age one, right?
Mm.
It must make you feel nice. It's like, okay, well, I got this Golden Age Volume 1, which has the first 30 appearances of her. Now, worst case scenario, I can just collect from 31 up, you know,
right.
And you'll have like a full... Some people might think that's cheating, but let's be honest. None of us are going to have Detective Comics 27 in our collection. Just not going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
In any condition.
Take a miracle.
In any condition.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for coming on, Chris. I could go on for hours as I think of stuff, but...
That's all right, man.
We'll have to do this fun. Again to do some more Batman breakdown, I think,
of course,
at some point. But thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man, it was so
always
fun.
A pleasure to talk to you because I kind of envy like what you do, but at the same time, it gives me stress.
It does, really?
It does because I have such a hard time parting with stuff that is a comic, especially comic related, because even the bad stuff I like absorb it. It's part of history, so it's I like want it historically to be there.
But you've read it, you feel the need, even the bad stuff you feel the need to keep.
Yes,
even though you've read it.
Yes
Well, that's fine. There's
because
no right answer, right?
It's a collection thing too, not just the even the ones I don't like, there's issues I don't like in my collection that I don't want to part with because it's a run. It's weird. Mm-hmm. It's like I can't separate these people. I can't separate.
You know, though, I
it brings me joy to open up these boxes and just see.
Hey, me too.
Like all, and then like remembering where I read it. Or remembering how much this issue upset me. I get like a kick out of it. I'm like,
I like to think of it. I get the same feeling as you do. I've for some reason, unlike you, I have peace with limiting the number of boxes that do that for me. Like I can still get the same feelings without the complete aspect.
Yeah.
Not without the complete aspect, but I don't know. We're on the same page. Just, I just don't need as much.
Right.
But there's certain things I can never get rid of. And I will never pull a Keith and stop. yeah.
Well, he'll say he's still going to the library, but I don't know how he could do it. Like
I will always have my old comics. I will always have my hardcovers, and I'll always be buying new back issues. Always. I will never stop. It's just a matter of what the shape of the collection looks like. And I personally don't feel like it diminishes my collection for me to have it increase and decrease in scope, if that makes sense. It doesn't lessen my collection if the number of comics in it goes down, as long as the overall joy that the overall collection brings me is there. And
it's
I would never jeopardize that. I would never get rid of it just because of, I don't get rid of it because I have too many comics, or I need to get rid of something that I like. No, I'll make room for that. It's a little different.
That's what this show's about, to find out how different people collect, because we're all different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I agree. All right, brother.
All right, my brother. Well, you have a good 4th of July, and we'll talk to you very soon, I think, because of Gotham Greg Geeks.
That's right, man.
Although I don't know what we're doing.
we'll send around an email tomorrow saying, hey, I forget what we talked about last episode.
Last episode we talked about all the Rebirth issues, plus you missed out on a good discussion about Paul Dini, but
I was a little out of it,
but yeah, but
we gotta, you're right,
I need to know if we're gonna pick stuff, do you know what I mean, if we're gonna pick an issue or something.
Well, I'll make my pick tonight. I'll send a message around everyone saying what are we going to read.
I just didn't see an entry, and then the dates got moved around a little bit.
Yeah, no, I know. I got to pick something. I'll pick something so you have time to read it.
That I'd at least like to spend tomorrow reading my choice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't know
exactly.
if I'll get to everybody else's, but
Well, my whatever I choose won't be more than an issue or two. And I'm gonna try to get away. I've been reading a lot of the old stuff I've been buying because I don't know about you, but there was a period where I would buy old issues, back issues, obviously, Batman or whatever, and I would buy them, I would catalog them, and I put them in my collection and go, well, I'll read you at a later date, you know, when I get to you. But now I feel this compulsion to
To read
read
it,
them as I
you
buy
know,
them, which is much more rewarding for me because it was just is. I don't know why. It's just I even the old issues, I'll buy these old issues and I'll break them out and read them. And it gives me more energy to want to go buy more old issues. I don't know what it is, but because I get the full effect, you know,
That's
I
the way it
see it, I
should
buy it
be.
and I read it, you
I
know?
don't do that because of the sheer quantity of intake, but
You would if you could.
like I would if I could. Yeah, like I just got this whole stack of Ghost Riders. I did get that Ghost Rider number one, by the
I'm
way.
glad you
And
did.
you know what? I read it already.
Good for you.
So that
It
was the
does make
book
it
that
fun.
that was the book that I really wanted at the con, and I didn't get it because the one place that had it sold it that I wanted it for,
Was
and
that New
I kind
Force?
of.
Was it New Force or no, it was another
No,
place?
it was that place up front that you saw me grab it. I was even tempted to grab it. And you said, no, grab it. See what it looks like. And then I kind of like looked at it and I was like, this is pretty good, but I want to look shop around because it's $100.
Yeah.
But then I
Well,
saw that other guy's, which where you bought a lot of stuff, and his had one of my pet peeves where the alignment of the cover is like. How could you say it? It's got all that white and it's mashed in. I don't know what they call that. But it looks like the binding is not right. That's what when the
oh,
staples went in.
interesting. Like it's a skew or something?
Yeah,
Huh.
I'll take a picture of what that looks like and send it to you, but
I'm interested.
that's my pet peeve.
Yeah, man, no,
Your
you can't.
yours
Yeah.
is a center staple. That one
Staples.
really bothers me when it's
Oh,
like.
and this is ironic, but in crease lines where someone has folded it in half, like when they were a kid, but some subsequently a collector has gotten it and has flattened it out and put it in a Mylar for 40 years. But then you go to buy it and it looks great. But then when you put it up to the light, you see that faint line down the middle of the front of the book that has been folded at one point. And I don't mind me folding my own fucking comics, but I
Yeah,
don't want to buy
me and you.
someone else's that's been folded down the
Yeah,
middle.
we talked about it that
We
because
did, didn't we?
that one doesn't bother me because I think about, man, I wonder what kid stuck that in the back of his pocket.
I don't want no
So
sloppy seconds.
I did the same thing. Yeah, sloppy seconds.
I don't, but yeah, I don't. Everyone's got their own pet peeves. And what's good about if you can buy it from the same guy over and over, or buy it from a couple of dealers, and which I have over the years, they get to know exactly what your picadillos are, peccadillos, right? Or what your weird idiosyncrasies, you know, it's too late now. I can't say idiosyncrasies. Well, but they'll actually know. Like, I remember I picked up a book from Richard one time. I said, look, he goes, that's not for you, Chris. Center staple, center centerfold is attached to the bottom. I'm like, good man. You know? That's
Right,
funny
well,
shit. All
I'll talk to you this week then.
right, man.
Bye, geek. See ya.
All right, good night. Bye.